of Elder Lasser Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati...
Revival Time was sponsored by the Assembly of God Churches in your area. When you write to Revival Time, be sure to mention you heard it on...
...of Elder Lasser Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
This is Lasser Bradley, Jr. speaking to you from Cincinnati, Ohio, and inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. That you have joined us for this broadcast, and I want to encourage you to write us and let us know that you're listening. Our mailing address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. When you write, we'll send you a sample copy of our publication, The Baptist Witness. You'll find in it a complete schedule of all of the stations carrying the broadcast, as well as articles that we trust will be of interest to you. Like to mention that we are happy to welcome the listeners of stations recently added to the chain carrying this program: KFYO in Lubbock, Texas, KEAS AM and FM at Eastland, Texas, and station WELE, Daytona Beach, Florida. We're indeed thankful that we've been able to expand this effort of sending out the gospel. And so we look forward to hearing from you, and trust that you'll pray for us, that we will have the support needed to continue in this effort. That address once more is the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. You'll be hearing a message today entitled A Better Country. If you would like that message on cassette, request it when writing us. The Lord willing, on Friday night, June 8th, I'll begin a meeting with the Jackson Primitive Baptist Church in Jackson, Mississippi. The meeting continues there through Sunday, June 10th. We hope that you in the area will come to be with us in this meeting at the Jackson Primitive Baptist Church, Jackson, Mississippi. And now let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful opportunity to speak in Thy name. We thank Thee that we're able to reach so many people by way of radio each week. And we ask that Thou would use the message in their life. Oh, Heavenly Father, we know that so many suffer in the midst of the adversities and afflictions of life. But we know that Thy grace is sufficient and that there are answers in Thy word to life's problems. Direct us by Thy Holy Spirit in all that's done, that the name of our Savior may be exalted. For we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Then how will I?
to read from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This passage speaks of a better country. And we want to talk about that country and talk about the confession that these make who journey toward it, confessing that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It says that by faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. God had called Abraham to go out of his home place, to go into a land that he knew not. He didn't know anything about the land. He didn't know what would befall him there. He didn't know his future. But he knew one that did. He knew God. And he obeyed. Faith means that we believe when we can't see, when we can't understand. We don't know what lies ahead. But we just go out totally on God's word and do what he says do. It says that he sojourned in a strange country. And it says that these individuals confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. A stranger is a foreigner. I'm sure that a number of you here this morning have had the experience of being in a foreign country. It may be interesting to travel there, but there is a certain amount of discomfort that is felt when you're in a foreign land. There are some problems encountered. In most cases, you can't read the signs. You don't understand the currency. You speak another language. They can't understand you. You can't understand them. And you may be just a little out of place. You're certainly not at ease there. You're not comfortable there like you are in your homeland. For there you know your way around. There you're at ease. God's people are described as strangers and pilgrims. You see, we're in a foreign land. Now, I know this is the only land we've ever traveled in as far as our experience thus far. We've traveled upon this earth. But we may have visited many places, and some have traveled extensively. It's still been upon this earth. But our citizenship is in heaven. And so we're strangers here. If you don't understand the language, there's a lot of things that you are going to react to in a totally different way. You know, really, it's appropriate that God's people should react to things differently in this world than those who feel at home here. It's appropriate that God's people ought to be offended by some things that they see and some things that they hear. Doesn't mean that the Lord's people become harsh, overbearing, unkind, judgmental. But sin ought to be identified as sin. Sinful conduct, sinful conversation ought to be rejected and opposed. One of the sad marks of our declining society today is that people find it quite interesting to talk about the details of sin. You can't go to the grocery store today without finding at the checkout counter headlines trying to appeal to the sensual interest of this depraved nature. And the more sensational those headlines may be, no doubt the more people who are attracted to buy it, and they want to read in detail the sins of others' lives. Those sins are portrayed on the soap operas and now in prime time television. And people find pleasure in seeing it. Friends, if we get to the place that we can read about sin, talk about sin, observe sin, and we're not appalled by it, there's a problem with our spirituality. If we become so callous that nothing disturbs us anymore, we can hear the ungodly talk that goes out over some of the airwaves, and it not be strange language to us. It's time for us to humble ourselves and pray, "Oh Lord, help me to remember that my citizenship is in heaven. And as a citizen of that heavenly place, I don't want to be looking at the same things that other people find so appealing. I don't want to be listening to the vile talk that is so common in today's world. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. Pilgrim is one who's traveling in a strange place. Our pilgrim fathers that came here to this country had journeyed across the mighty Atlantic. Oh, you can fly across it in a few hours today, but it was a different matter to come across in those ships so long ago. Must it not have been a strange experience for them? While it was challenging, there must have been some great apprehension also as they ventured upon this newfound land. They were pilgrims because they were far from home. If you're a child of God, you're still far from home. I've shared with you before, but I think about it now. When little Justin Godby was, I suppose, no more than 5 years old at the time, that his little playmates said to him, may have been less than five as I think about it, but little playmates said, "I want you to go home and get something." And he kept insisting, "I can't go home." And they said, "Why, Justin, you can. Go on home and get whatever it was they wanted." He said, "No, I can't go home." They said, "Why, Justin, there it is right there. Why can't you?" He said, "Oh, that's just my house. My home's in heaven." Oh, we need to remember what sometimes little children are able to perceive. We get so bogged down here, so tied in to material things, to the cares of life, that we forget where our home is. We forget we're a stranger and a pilgrim. See, the attitude of a stranger, one who's a sojourner, is just a lot different than somebody who's at home. Now, if our citizenship is in heaven, that doesn't mean we don't have any responsibilities here, because the scriptures make it clear what our responsibilities are, but it means that we don't get tangled up in the affairs of this life. Talking particularly about ministers of the gospel, he said, no man that is at war is going to entangle himself. He's going to be free so he can be a good soldier. And all of us are soldiers of the cross. And if we allow ourselves to become entangled in the worldliness, in the material things, in the entertainment areas of this life, bogged down with sin, we've forgotten where our home is. Now, he's talking here particularly about Abraham. And it's interesting when we go back and look at the life of Abraham to see what an attitude this man had. Totally different than the attitude that's often displayed even by professed Christians. Let's go to the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis and look at it a moment. Genesis 13 verse 1 says, "And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him." And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. You see, Abraham was mindful of where his home was and that he was a stranger here, and he was in communication with the homeland. He called upon the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Now there's a conflict, strife between the herdmen of Abraham and those of Lot. What's going to happen? Is Abraham going to show bitterness? He's confessed that he's just a stranger and a pilgrim here. So what does he say? Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." We're living in a day when people are so determined to claim their rights. I want what is mine. I'm not willing for anybody to take anything away from me. I'm going to demand my rights. If somebody doesn't treat me right, I'm going to take them to court. And that not only happens in the ungodly world, it sometimes happens among God's people. Yet the book of 1 Corinthians strictly forbids us to take a brother to law. Strictly forbids it. Yet that's been forgotten so much in today's society. What was Abraham's attitude? I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim here. It really doesn't make a whole lot of difference where I feed my cattle. We're brothers, and I'm not going to let some little controversy like this come between us. Are there fellow travelers, pilgrims that are also journeying toward this heavenly country that you're separated from today because you let controversy over material things divide you? Are there some situations you ought to make right? Are there people you ought to talk to, confession you ought to make? Oh, that you might learn from the example of Abraham. Verse 9 says, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Abraham didn't say, "I've got my sight set on a little piece of land over here, and I've been looking at it for years, and there's no way I can survive without it. I got to have that no matter what." Let me tell you, any time we get to the place that we've got our sight set on something material to such an extent, we think we've got to have it or else we've gotten our vision clouded. We've forgotten where our citizenship is. When that becomes the most important thing to us, that's our object in life. We've got to have that particular piece of land. We've got to have that particular house. We've got to have that new car. We've got to have that amount of money in the bank. That's what's going to cheer us on. Now, Abraham was a wealthy man. Nothing wrong with enjoying the material things that God gives us. The wrong comes when that becomes the object of our affection, when that influences our decision-making, when that leads us down the wrong path. Abraham's attitude was, Lot, you just take your pick. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. It doesn't matter. Oh, if there could be that kind of spirit among God's people today. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Suppose you were given that opportunity. You're standing there with a brother, and he says, you take your pick. Would you have a tendency to try to pick out the best? Or would your attitude be like that of Abraham? You take what you want, I'll take what's left. See, Lot didn't have quite the same spirit. He didn't have the same measure of faith as Abraham. He was a righteous man. God's word describes him as such. But he was still plagued with a great deal of carnality. And he looked down that way and he saw the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered. Beautiful, like a garden. Oh, I got to have that. That's where I want to live. That's where I want to be. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. He didn't move all the way down there at first. He was going to live out on these well-watered plains. But he pitched his tent toward Sodom, a notoriously wicked city. Do you know that when the angels later came to deliver Lot before destruction fell, he was sitting at the gate of the city. He first said, I'll just live out here in the country, but I'll live close enough where I can drive into Sodom and do a little shopping and have a little business transaction once in a while. We won't be involved. I'll just live out here, but I want to be convenient to all these things. And you see, Satan always works in such a way that we're deceived step by step. See, when God's people have sunk deep into sin, they never intended to get that placed. They never intended to sink that low. Never intended to grow so cold spiritually and to be so rebellious and soil themselves with some of the filth and ungodliness of this world. They never intended that. They started out just like Lot did. I just want the best, and this well-watered plains are the best, and this is where I want to be. I disapprove of what's going on in Sodom, but, oh, it is a beautiful city, and before its destruction, it was known as a beautiful city. A lot of business transactions going on there. Lot said, I want to do my banking down there. See, then once he had his money down there, it got inconvenient to do all that running back and forth. And he said, well, I believe I'll move down there. And then he got to have a position in the city, and he was sitting at the gate of the city. Where's your tent pitched today? Oh, you wouldn't sink to some of the ungodly things that you see around you in this world, but if your tent's pitched that direction, if that's where your thoughts are, if that's where your interest is, it won't take but a little bit to back up and move. Abraham recognized that his citizenship was in heaven. Do you recognize that? Is that your thought on a daily basis? It'll give you a totally different outlook on life, a totally different attitude about the things that happen to you, about where you're going and how you're traveling here. The men and women of faith who confessed that they were but strangers and pilgrims here had their sights set on a better country, that city whose builder is God. Looking by faith at things not seen, rejoicing in the hope of things which are eternal, certainly gives us an entirely different view of our present journey. May we all today determine to spend what time we may have here serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ out of gratitude for his wonderful love to us. Oh, how gracious and merciful he has been. Is it asking too much that we commit our all and that we seek him first in every part of our life as we look toward that better country? Remember, if you would like a cassette of the message today, just write and request it. The announcer will give you the address in just a few moments. And now, until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
This Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217.